this is what you're fighting for. I mean, every day you're out there.
What they're doing is blowing people off.
If you continue to look the other way and shut up, then the oppressors, the authoritarians, get total control and total power. Because this is just like in Arizona. This is just like in Georgia. It's another element that backs them into a corner and shows their lies and misrepresentations.
This is why this audience is going to have to get engaged. As we've told you, this is the fight.
All this nonsense, all this spin, they can't handle the truth.
War Room, Battleground. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
It's Friday, 19 April, year of our Lord, 2024. Very special edition here at 6 o'clock. I want to thank Natalie and the team for everything at 5. We've got Russ Vogt. MTG is going to join us momentarily. Can we put in perspective today? And let's get into the details, right? Because I think people are so shocked. We left Las Vegas right after you and Chip had been there, and we had great presentations of what people are doing on the ground to make sure that we not just win with President Trump, but that there's congressional seats up in the air. People, everybody's focused, everybody's fighting. And then in the middle of the night, in a rules committee, they turn it totally over to the Democrats, which has never been done before in history. And then today, you see, although it's an impressive number given where people normally on rules, with 55, you had 151. So walk us through what happened in the middle of the night. How did we get into this position?
So what happened yesterday was that the Democrats provided the critical support necessary in the Rules Committee to be able to get it out of committee. And remember, we've been previewing on this show that, you know, we didn't think we were going to be able to necessarily stop it in rules. And the fact that there was a debate on it, I think, was progress. You had the three conservatives that were put on there to be part of a coalitional government with conservatives. They vote against that. It goes to the floor. That is something.
But the deal at the beginning, if those three vote against it, it can't come out of rules. It doesn't go to the floor.
Correct.
That was our control.
That is a violation of
itself. The reason this audience, we fought all these kind of technical issues is that you have procedural stuff that can block policy stuff beforehand, and that rules was like sacrosanct, right?
Exactly. So just for a little bit of wide-angle history, since 1961, the Rules Committee has become more and more the Speaker's Committee. It has been, even to the extent of, you know, anyone who gets a committee chairman is playing ball with the leadership. The Rules Committee was handpicked. All of the Rules Committee members were the most loyal to the elected leadership. And
to the fact that they were used to say in the old days, even a year ago, that if you give me policy and you give me procedure, give me rules committee, I'll control what comes out
exactly.
of Congress.
Exactly. John Dingell, the longest serving member, I think, and potentially until Young might have passed him. But Dingell said, if I get procedure and you get policy, I win every time. That's the nature of the rules committee, because in the Senate, you have every member has their own procedural authority. It's called the ability to filibuster. In the House, the Rules Committee sets up its own process for every major bill, with one major exception called the suspension calendar. But those rules are everything. And so we are seeing the most procedurally dishonest rule that I have seen in my time, which is an attempt to tell the American people that these are individual votes, and then to have individual votes on them and then to merge them back. That is totally dishonest. That is allowed by a rules committee that is doing what Johnson wants.
To merge them back, because then it goes to the Senate
as a package,
and it kind of comports with what the Senate does. They give a quick and dirty. It goes right to Biden. He signs it. It's in. It's a way basically to end run, not simply MAGA, but the conservative nature of the House. Oh, Congressman Green. Okay, I got Russ Vogt. He's going to stick with us. Congressman Green. Congressman, we want to spend right now you walking through the motion to vacate. Obviously, the argument being used against you is that this is not just going to cause further chaos, but we're going to risk turning it over to Hakeem Jeffries. Now, I would argue Hakeem Jeffries already runs the floor, but answer the two arguments. Just walk through your process as best as you can see it now, given the fact there are a lot of people saying, hey, we're going to risk Hakeem Jeffries being Speaker of the House. That would destroy everything we're working on to get President Trump reelected.
I would argue that what will destroy our ability to elect a Republican-controlled House next cycle is for Republicans in the House to fail their voters. We know Republican voters are going to turn out for President Trump. There is no doubt that is going to happen. They are absolutely showing up and checking the box for Donald J. Trump for president in November of 2024. What we're really concerned and what people should be terrified of happening is that because of the poor performance and the betrayal of Speaker Johnson, is that after voters show up and check the box for Donald John Trump, they're going to skip things down ballot, and they are specifically going to skip whoever the House rep is there, whoever that Republican name is, because of the failure from the Republican majority that's happening in front of them right now. This House majority has given voters every single reason to say they cannot trust them, to say that we can't trust Republicans in the House to do anything right. Republican majority last time they had it under Paul Ryan, they failed to pass President Trump's agenda. And now we're watching a Republican majority that I'm a member of absolutely betray voters historically in a way we've never seen before, at least in my lifetime. I've never seen this before, Steve. And it's truly terrifying. But if I can weigh in, I'd like to talk to you about
Hang on one second. Right. Yeah. I just want to. Russ Vogt just made the comment that this is the most dishonest rule that's ever been passed. And the reason is that they're going through all these perturbations because all they intend to do is merge everything back into the Senate bill and get it to Biden as quickly as possible. Is that your view? Can you take a second and explain that to the audience?
Yes. I'm about to say something that's going to be shocking to everyone. Now, how this whole foreign aid package started out, it started with a bill, H.R. 815. Do you see this bill? This was a House bill that was passed last year.
H.R. 815, yep.
Uh-huh, and I want to tell you what the title of it is. This is to make certain improvements relating to the eligibility of veterans to receive reimbursement for emergency treatment furnished through the Veterans Community Care Program and for other purposes. This started out as a veteran health care bill, and we all voted for it. I voted for this, and so did other Republicans. And it passed in the House, and then it went to the Senate. And this is when it completely changed. Over in the Senate, the Democrats in the Senate stripped all the language out of H.R. 15. And they inserted the Senate's foreign aid package, the $61 billion for Ukraine, all of the things that we are against happening right now. They inserted that language in the bill, and they sent it back to the House, and that's where it went to the Rules Committee last night. And everything's changed. They added the TikTok ban bill, but they also added something called the Repo Act. And I want to tell you about the Repo Act. This is extremely dangerous. The Repo Act would make it permanent, the Biden administration's sanctions on Russia, completely permanent. There's no sunset in the Repo Act. So if President Trump is in the White House and he is trying to negotiate peace between Ukraine and Russia, this totally ties his hands behind his back. And he's not able to make any sort of deal for a peace agreement with Ukraine. Again, it would, in a Trump administration, it makes the Biden administration sanctions permanent with no sunset date. And now if President Trump tries to work a way around this clause in the Repo Act or tries to go around it in any way, Democrats will use that because past performance is a guarantee of future behavior. The Democrats could likely use that as some sort of crazy evidence to claim Russian collusion again. And then here we go again with a possible impeachment. That is if Democrats were to control the House. So there's so much danger that happened in this entire scam. This is a scam on the American people. Speaker Johnson literally gave Chuck Schumer and the Democrats in the Senate full control over passage of this bill that's America Last, like something we've never seen.
Has that been explained? Has that been explained to any of the members? Does the conference understand that what they actually were allowing to come to the floor, or is that kind of more this hide the football?
You know what? I honestly don't know if they even have a clue what's going on. So many of them skipped town and went home last night to whatever they were going home for. A lot of them weren't here earlier in the day when we tried to vote down this rule and block it. And so I don't know where they are. I don't know what they know. I don't know what they don't know. But it's shocking. Everyone should know this. And so I'm trying to tell people, other members that do understand it, other conservatives are trying to tell people. But here we are. It's practically too late. The rule passed earlier today. And now tomorrow we're going to be voting on the betrayal. This is the betrayal of the American people. And Steve, it all started out as a United States veterans health care bill.
Yeah, just one more time. I want to explain that to people about how they did hide the football and switched in the dark of night. I also want you to take another minute and explain this repo of how this is another way they're trying to handcuff President Trump.
Mm-hmm. This is H.R. 815. Anyone can look up the original bill online. You can go to congress.gov and look it up. It originally started out as a veterans health care bill to make certain improvements relating to the eligibility of veterans to receive reimbursement for emergency treatment furnished through the Veterans Community Care Program. I voted for this. I thought it was a great bill. Republicans voted for it. It passed the House last year. It went to the Senate, and this is what the Senate used and stripped the language out of H.R. 15, totally took everything out for veterans, completely gone. And they filled it with all of the funding and the policy for foreign wars, not for America, not to defend our country, not to do anything for people in Lahaina or people in East Palestine or to secure our southern border or to help veterans in any way, shape, or form. They filled it with all the funding for the foreign wars, $61 billion for Ukraine. Then they sent it back over to the House, and this is where Johnson's team and the people here in the House worked together behind closed doors, and they worked with the Rules Committee, the Democrats on the Rules Committee, to create a new rule. And they added in other things like the TikTok ban, and they added in something called the Repo Act. The Repo Act has a dangerous clause in there where it makes the Biden administration's sanctions on Russia permanent with no sunset clause. So President Trump, next administration, could not, it ties his hands to be able to negotiate a peace resolution between Ukraine and Russia. Peace is what the Ukrainian people need. They don't need more war. But this Repo Act that Speaker Johnson, the Republican elected speaker, has made sure, and he made a deal with Democrats to get it done. He made sure it passed through the Rules Committee last night in the dark of night after midnight. And he made that deal, and we know he made a deal because every Democrat on the Rules Committee voted for it. Democrats on the Rules Committee never vote for Republican rules. That is not done, ever. And vice versa. Republicans on the Rules Committee never vote for Democrat rules when the Democrats are in charge, like they were last Congress. However, this time, for the first time in known history, the Democrats voted for this rule because it had this guarantee in there. And now tomorrow, they've already passed this rule on the House floor. It already passed. Now tomorrow, we have a final vote on these four separate bills that will be packaged back together as one package and sent back to the Senate. And it's the most dangerous thing for President Trump. It's the most dangerous thing. This could fuel World War III because it fuels world wars. It funds $61 billion to Ukraine, but it does have that nasty little poison pill in there that could grow to a monster because we know Democrats. Past behavior from Democrats is a guarantee for future performance. And Democrats, they never come up with any new tricks. So we could see this being Russia, Russia, Russia again if President Trump is in the White House and tries to actually bring world peace.
Given, I realize it's people are hesitant to vote against rules in the general on the floor, and FISA is a perfect example of that. But given what they did in the middle of the night, given what you've just exposed, what they've done about stripping out the veterans and dumping this in, given so much of like the Repo Act that has not been explained to even members of the conference, why is your belief that 151, because as you know, we've been winning the majority and using that as a very powerful argument to say, hey, you're going against the conference. Why, in your mind, did the conference almost overwhelmingly vote to allow this fiasco to go forward?
Well, let's go back to the real trick in there, Steve. And I think this is one of the dirtiest tricks at all. As a matter of fact, I had tweeted it out literally before Israel was attacked by Iran last week. And the trick was this: for an entire week, everyone in Washington, D.C. knew that Iran was about to attack Israel. And they talked about it and talked about it. But yet Speaker Johnson did nothing. He literally waited. He didn't pack the aid. He didn't pass an aid package for Israel. He held that as a really dirty trick in his pocket, sort of like an ace, you know, when you're making a play, when you're playing cards. He held that ace in his pocket, waited for Israel to be attacked by Iran so that he could pair that ace with the Joker, Ukraine. And he put those two together to pressure Republicans to vote for this. You know, there's many good people in the Republican Party. There's many Christians, and they feel that they have to vote no matter what to fund Israel with anything they need. And of course, we support Israel. They are our ally. We never want to see them attacked. We stand with Israel. But it was a real dirty trick to put those two together. And so I think Republicans that maybe are against Ukraine funding, and that'll show itself tomorrow in the vote as we take those four separate votes, they voted for the rule because it's commonplace to vote for a rule and allow a bill to go to the floor, where if you're against the bill, you'll vote no to it. But people voted for this rule
Do you believe with your efforts, do you believe that these votes tomorrow, that there's any way that you'll be able to vote down or get a majority of the majority against, like, for instance, Ukraine? Do you believe there's enough impetus in anti-Ukraine funding? Because we don't know, you know, Chip Roy told us last night, which was powerful, of the 113 to, in your case, 129 billion that's gone, only 40 or 50 has gone to the battlefield. The rest has gone to Zelensky's cronies. Do you think right now, as you see it, with 24 hours to go or even less, that you've got enough arguments on your side to actually vote down the Ukraine bill tomorrow in and of itself?
There's a chance, Steve, because on September 28, 2023, the last time we had a vote recorded for funding for Ukraine, it was for $300 million to Ukraine. And the majority of the majority voted against it. It was 117 Republicans voted no. One of those 117 was actually Mike Johnson. He voted no to $300 million to Ukraine. And 101 Republicans voted yes. So there's a possibility tomorrow on the House floor, Steve, we could see the majority of the majority vote no to the Ukraine funding. I think that's a good possibility. But I think we'll see the rest. I think we'll have a majority voting yes to the other four bills that are there in that package. But here's the deal. They all get packaged back together. So there's no difference. It's really an omnibus package. Just because there are four separate votes to sort of give members the feeling that they're voting their conscience or whatever, the reality is the final result is they get packaged all back together and they go back to the Senate in what started out as a veterans health care bill. It started out that way. So I think that to me is really the biggest actual slap in the face to the greatest Americans among us, and that's our military veterans. The very men and women that served our country risked their lives. Maybe have been injured in horrible ways or living with difficult injuries, the ones that commit suicide at 22 every single day, the ones that that protect us and every single night have horrible nightmares that they can never get rid of. These people have been betrayed. They have been betrayed over and over again. But I think, Steve, it's so beyond me that a bill that started out for veterans health care could turn into a bill that funds the blood and murder of people in foreign countries and does nothing to actually help our veterans at all.
Congressman Green, we got about 5 or 6 minutes. I want you to make the case. Our audience obviously supports what you're doing with Speaker Johnson. Their big hangup is the onslaught in media and even conservative media of the Dusty Johnson school of thought, which is you're going to put Hakeem Jeffries in charge. Make your case now to the Warren Posse of why you've thought this through, and that's not going to, before you bring this and gather more co-sponsors, that's not going to be a risk.
You know, it's not a risk because we have a Republican majority, and there is not a single Republican here that's going to vote for Hakeem Jeffries. You want to know why? They're all up for re-election. Even if they're retiring, they do not want to go out voting for Hakeem Jeffries. I don't think it's going to happen. And another thing is I'm not handling this in an irresponsible manner, Steve. I'm being very careful, and I promise you, I am measuring this over and over again and being very diligent with the process. I have worked so hard for our majority, and I'm working hard to have the majority again next time under President Trump, hopefully as our president in the White House, so that we can fix all of these problems. But here's the real situation. You know, we're constantly the Republican Party who points to all the problems and all the horrible things happening and spends time on television with 3-minute and 5-minute sound bites and 5-minute committee hearing sound bites and op-eds in big fancy media companies, newspapers, and digital apps online. You know, here we are as Republicans that always talk a big game, but we never take the action to ever fix anything. Here we are, $34 trillion in debt, and that's not going anywhere because we're gaining it at $40 billion every single night. Our border is invaded, and no one is shutting it down. No one is shutting it down. How many more Americans are going to die, maybe today or tomorrow? We have no idea, but the dead American bodies are piling up every single day. While Republicans here in Washington, D.C. say, oh, don't rock the boat. We don't want this to be uncomfortable. It's too hard for us to find another speaker, Marjorie. I'm sorry, that's not a Republican Party that I want to have anything to do with, because that's a Republican Party that's sitting on the sidelines while our country literally burns down. Americans can't afford their groceries. They can't afford their bills. People are piling up credit card debt and people are going bankrupt. And my children's generation, my kids who are in their early 20s, their generation has no hope for a future to ever be able to afford to ever buy a home. That is the reality that we're living in. So if Republicans want to criticize me and say that this is a really bad idea, I think they need to take a hard look at themselves in the mirror and say, which kind of person are you going to be at the end of the day when this is all over with? Were you the one that didn't want to rock the boat, or were you the person that actually stepped out and took the actions that were necessary to take, no matter how uncomfortable or difficult they are to take them? Were you a type of person that actually was willing to fight for this country? Because the very veterans that did fight for our country and got screwed over in this process right here are the heroes. And so I think that's a real question that we need for our Republican Party. Are we a uniparty with the Democrats destroying America? Are we actually a separate party? And you know what? I'm proud. I am so proud and so happy. I sleep so good at night, Steve. I have nothing to worry about. I'm not going to be irresponsible and risk throwing our majority to the Democrats. But we're already controlled by the Democrats. That's the reality that we're living in. Hakeem Jeffries is controlling this. Chuck Schumer is controlling this. And the Biden administration and White House has full control of our Speaker of the House. So my question is, why would we not try to make a change and get a stronger Republican in as Speaker of the House? And I think our Republican-controlled majority ought to actually find the courage within themselves to do this, because we still have a majority right now.
Last thing before I let you go is the breach of trust, given what happened last night in the Rules Committee, is that breach of trust with Johnson is irreparable? That's why you're saying you must go forward with this?
Yeah, this is beyond repair. Mike Johnson is a man has already proven that he cannot negotiate. As a matter of fact, he will not negotiate. He gets on the other side and works with the Democrats. He's on their team. There's no way we can trust him going forward to be Speaker of the House and walk into those rooms and negotiate anything for Republicans. Nothing. He's already proven that he will throw it all away. So, yes, the trust is completely broken. What we need now, Steve, is we need co-sponsors to put their name on the motion to vacate to prove that they no longer trust Mike Johnson as Speaker. Because right now there's three of us. There's myself, Thomas Massie, and Paul Gosar. But there's more people telling us that, hey, we support you. You know, we're behind this motion to vacate. But these two people need to come forward. It's time for them to come forward, put their name on there as co-sponsors, and tell the American people that they're willing to stand up to the Republican uniparty establishment, that they will no longer go along with this. And we need to make sure this is a very careful, controlled, responsible process that doesn't do our country any harm and protects our majority.
Where do people go to find out more about your crusade here? What would they need information? You've got a lot of people here who want to push their people to be co-sponsors, but where do they go?
I continue to ask people to follow my social media at RepMTG, or you can go to my website, green.house.gov. Green has an E on the end, and you can sign up for my newsletter where we send out lots of information, and when we'll continue to try to keep people posted. Thank you very much, Steve. Thank you, Russ.
Congressman, thank you. And thank you for taking leadership here. Quite remarkable to inform the American people. I hope President Trump gets your briefing. I think it's very important for him to hear from you personally. We're going to take a short commercial break. I want to thank Congressman MTG for sticking with us. We're going to take a short commercial break. Russ Vogt, who's got a bounce, is going to stay with me for a few minutes. We're going to put this all in perspective. Times of turbulence. For 8,000 years of recorded history, gold has been a hedge. Find out what that means. Go to birchgold.com/banner right now. We've got the end of the dollar empire. I have the new fifth installment totally free, but you can talk to one of the Birch Gold professionals, Philip Patrick and the team, about exactly turbulence, hedge, gold. Those three concepts. Back in a moment. The apples in your holiday pie taste amazing, but it's not exactly the recommended 5 servings of fruits and vegetables. The Mayo Clinic says if you want to help prevent heart disease, lower blood pressure, and your cholesterol, eat 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day, which, as you know, is almost impossible. That's why you need to check out Field of Greens. Every fruit and vegetable in Field of Greens was medically selected by doctors to support your vital organs, like your heart, your lungs, your kidneys, and your immune system. Yo, folks, the holidays are here, and you need to stay healthy. Plus, you'll notice your skin, hair, and nails will look healthier. Field of Greens is the simplest way to get those daily fruits and veggies, and it tastes amazing. Let me get you started with 15% off your first order. Visit fieldofgreens.com. Use promo code Bannon. That's promo code Bannon at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com. Make sure you take it today. Use your agency. Action, action, action. Fieldofgreens.com. Promo code Bannon. Tax Network USA is pure war room for solving your IRS tax problems. If you owe back taxes, COVID was your lucky break. Tax court shut down, the IRS paused, and you skated. Well, baby, that party is over. The IRS is adding 20,000 enforcement agents, basically tax cops. Honest, hardworking Americans like you are in the crosshairs. Rich people have tax lawyers, and you don't. You'll pay up, plus interest and penalties. Tax USA Network has brilliant war room type strategies designed to solve your IRS problem quickly in your favor. Never call the IRS yourself. You're at their mercy. You could sit on hold for 6 to 8 hours and get hung up on. Grind you for all your back taxes, plus interest and penalties. Tax Network USA attorneys have a preferred direct line to the IRS. They know which agents to talk to and who to avoid. If they get difficult agent, hey, they just call a different agent. Tax Network USA learned of a limited time special IRS offer. The IRS is willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. Find out if you qualify before it's too late. Schedule your free confidential consultation with Tax Network USA. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. Think about that. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. They offer a best-in-class
client satisfaction guarantee. Now call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000 and visit Tax Network USA. That's TNUSA.com/Bannon. TNUSA.com/Bannon. Make sure you take action on this today. This IRS grind is only going to get much worse. Right now, millions of Americans face prescription medication shortages. The FDA's medication shortage list currently has over 120 prescription medications listed. Some patients are being forced into more expensive substitutes, while others are rationing what little medication they have left. Don't get caught unprepared. That's why I want you to pick up a Jace case today. The Jace case is a pack of essential antibiotics that can treat a long list of common bacterial illnesses, including UTIs, respiratory and skin infections, plus much more. And each case can be customized for your specific needs with dozens of add-on options. Just fill out a simple online form and Jace handles the rest. From the online evaluation to licensed pharmacy delivery and ongoing care, visit jacemedical.com and use code Bannon at checkout for an extra discount. That's promo code Bannon at Jace, J-A-S-E, jacemedical.com. Get the Jace case and get it today. Action, action, action.
All this nonsense, all this spin, they can't handle the truth.
War Room Battleground with Stephen K. Bannon. Okay.
Thank you very much. I'm here with Russ Vogt. We're actually going to be speaking at Russ's the conference with Center for Renewing America. Marjorie Taylor Greene just gave it to us with both barrels, right? I mean, when you see what had to happen behind closed doors, and this is why people, I think, get so frustrated, and that, you know, they're at the ramparts, they want to fight, but when they see people on their own team doing what we just heard they did, take a veteran's bill because they had a vehicle, rip it out, dump all this other stuff in there, have the Democrats vote for it, then bring it to the House and some jam thing, and not even explain to him, like the Repo Act. Look, at Birch Gold, we've been saying the entire time, the de-dollarization process is because they're trying to take frozen Russian assets of the Russian people, seize them, convert them into dollars, give them to Ukrainians, thinking they couldn't pass this bill. Now you find out they've also trying to hand... This is another one of those plots to make sure that if President Trump, when he's reelected, he's handcuffed to do anything. Explain that, what she just gave to us, because I think this is where people get increasingly frustrated when they hear a guy that's like Johnson, that people have known for years, didn't know him well, but he's a Christian. He's one of the leaders in the social Christian movement, the social movement, one of the big right to life guys. How can this happen?
This is infuriating. It's like we send these Republicans to Congress, and they lose total touch with education, where the information is. And let's talk about the Repo Act for a second. So the position of our movement has been, don't fund Ukraine. Obviously, that was about saving taxpayer money, but it was largely a foreign policy question. We don't want to participate in an endless war. So instead of, okay, and then it developed that Repo Act was the way to not spend money. It was going to be an alternative to the grant. I would argue it was a worse alternative. It was an act of war.
Yes.
It would impact our
ability. It was worse than us voting to give $60 billion, continue this fiasco, because here it's actually a direct act of economic war against the Russian people.
Yes.
And the Russian state.
And
with no intermediary. This is U.S. action at the highest level against higher action we took against the Nazis in World War II, economic war, and or Imperial Japan.
So, number one, it's an act of war. Number two, it totally destabilizes our financial system and our ability to raise debt and be able to fund our government. And, oh, by the way, we have some fairly consequential issues coming up with regard to China. Okay, so these people go into a closed door and say, hey, I got a bright idea. Let's repossess $300 million and commit this, right? And obviously push the global community to do the same. And there are much greater billions in European banks, right? So third, then they come along and they do both. They do the Repo Act and they do the grant. I mean, like, what do we have to – I would rather take the most unknowing, ignorant dumb person on the side of the road and give them a voting card and say, yeah, can you do better?
This is, you mentioned something to me the other day, that this may be the Brexit moment for the conservative movement, the MAGA movement, to come together. Because I keep saying, and this was in that book, Finish What We Started, President Trump's great phrase, you're seeing the beginning of a populist, nationalist, America First, American Citizens First Party, and a globalist elite party. Part of the connective tissue that's connected us is national security and foreign affairs. It's not that America First is isolationist, but we do want to put America's parties first. Is this moment where we're seeing what they would do in the dark of night, to basically work together with the globalists, is that, if we do our job and explain it, is this the Brexit moment where you actually have a borning, something's quite new, that these old, because you've been at this a lot longer than I have, that these old labels of Republican and Democrat kind of become either reinforced with new values or redefined?
I think it is. And I think what we've seen in the aftermath of the rise of the Trump is that establishment members have tried to make them sound America First. They've tried to say, I'm very MAGA, I'm very nationalist, I am for America First. And what, of course, they are not. I call them sporks, right?
You know, sporks, is that?
They are a little bit spoon, they're a little bit fork. But on the issues that matter, whether that's FISA or push comes to shove on Ukraine,
when it comes to tough key issues about this,
they are nowhere, and they're with the establishment. And so this is the greatest ripping of the Band-Aid for their ability to get away with it. It's going to be ugly. We have a hard time tomorrow to be able to show the majority of the majority. But what you saw yesterday is, in fact, the Democrats run the House. From a policy perspective,
no doubt in your mind.
The Democrats run the House. There's only one area where they don't, and it's not inconsequential. It's subpoenas. It is the oversight process. That is still run by Republicans. But you have a coalition government with a Republican speaker in which the entirety of the policy apparatus has essentially been given over to the Democratic Party. And the Republicans have retained the accountability of oversight and subpoenas. And so that's what we are up against. And we now have that exposed to the American people. The second thing I would say is that on this issue of foreign policy, these members have tried to say, without ever being shown, well, all right, where are you actually on this issue of Ukraine? They have tried to say, oh, okay, I don't think it should be spent wisely, or they don't need it yet. And what we're seeing now is that these members ultimately believe that this should be an endless war, that this there should be no limit to the amount of money that we prop up Ukraine in a war in which, look, the issue is not an accounting perspective. You're not going to go into a closed-door skiff and say, okay, is it $100 billion? Is it $200 billion? Is it a trillion? That number cannot, no one has the answer to that number. It's unlimited because you have you are up against Russia, which has certain interests at stake, and this issue is
It's a home court game for them.
It's a home court game, and this is not our issue. This is not our interest, and so they're not going away. These issues are not going away. And here's the thing: the military-industrial complex doesn't want it to go away. It's permanent for their attack on Trump, and it's. This has been at the end of the Cold War, this is their strategic approach. It's why we can't confront China. They have to maintain this theater and this facade of it being a two-front national crisis, one Europe, one China, to keep the gravy flowing.
I want to go back to this Brexit moment, because I know that the Warren Posse, and it was interesting, coming off the high of Vegas and the live show, today's morning show was the first time I've ever seen a lot of people going, man, to happen in the dead of night, to have Republicans actually being part of driving this, is it worth it, right? How do these members, given what we did in Iraq and Afghanistan, forget Vietnam, I mean, Vietnam's bad enough, but then Iraq and Afghanistan, the endless 20-year wars, the defense contractors driving it, how can they justify going along with this again? And this is exactly what Ukraine is.
I think there is one part continues to be strategic ignorance, where they literally don't go online, they don't get educated, they don't listen to podcasts, they just read the newspapers. And I think there's one part, and I remember this week just listening to Mike Johnson's
That's pretty embarrassing.
I mean, what year is this? Are you not paying attention to any of the debate that we've had over the last year? Are any of your arguments or J.D. Vance's arguments
or the report,
John Mearsheimer's arguments?
Are the reporting of Matt Boyle? Matt Boyle's reporting at Breitbart the last 48 hours has been shocking about the people around Johnson, the lobbyists around Johnson. They're his ability, when you say he comes across as naive, he surrounded himself with people that are all part of that kind of lobbying process and complex with the military, the national security establishment, right? So you see it. I think if you have J.D. Vance, you have Matt Boyle at Breitbart, you have all this that's out there, how can these other members avoid that?
Well, they're not going to be able to avoid it on this issue, right?
Do you think this is going to explode?
I do. This rule vote, because of the active participation of this audience so early in the process, the fact, 55 Republicans voted against a rule. I know it sounds bad. It is a big deal.
That's a big deal because I think people are so shocked that 151 voted for it. Why is the 55 people should say, you should say in the process of taking this back, that's actually a good thing? How can you make that argument?
Because to save our country, policy and process votes have to be considered the same thing. There are no non-policy process votes. You are either furthering my interest or you are hurting my interest one way or the other. It's all of life.
You're saying process here is policy.
Process is policy. And so we continue to live in a fiction in the Republican Party, interestingly not the Democratic Party, in which the members will say, well, it's a rule vote. It is a process vote, and I vote with my leader as a process matter, and I vote my conscience or my district on policy votes. And as a result, that's why we are on the cusp of tyranny, because the establishment, the uniparty, has driven us into the place that we are, and those main leverage points we have lost. And even some conservatives, you saw this in the FISA debate, where only 19 members, many of our good members, didn't get to be a no on the FISA rule. Well, why is that? Because they're still holding on to this fiction, and more of them.
You're saying the 19 to the 55 shows you that within a week,
right,
how people are waking up to the fact that they're not going to be able to hide these policy votes, or these process votes. People are going to deem, this audience is going to deem as a policy vote. You're not going to be able to hide.
So you're going to vote against the Ukraine package, but you voted for the rule? Totally unsustainable.
Is leadership shocked about the level of detail? I mean, in Vegas yesterday, I was amazed at, we had 500 people. The level of, when you and Chip are there, the level of understanding they have of process now and how you can't hide the football. Do you think leadership now understands it's tough for them to hide this?
Yeah. I've gotten anecdotal evidence in terms of the extent to which the audiences in this room, when members or Johnson or others are getting questions back to them, well, Speaker Johnson, how come you've pioneered the use of the suspension calendar? Their eyes, it's like Teletubby time, their eyes just go up in terms of the extent to which they're surprised, not only that the activists are so educated. And honestly, this is how our movement has innovated. This notion for years, if you're doing grassroots activism, that you needed to dumb it down for the grassroots, totally ridiculous.
Totally ridiculous.
Whether it's your show or the nature.
Well, what you've done here at CR, at the Center for Renewing America, I mean, you what a reason we love partnering with you guys and having you all the time, all the great guys, is that you do not talk down to this audience. You come in with specifics. It's complicated. But they want that. They want to raise up. They just don't want to sit there and listen to RNC talking points like on some other channels. They want to get they want to see the receipts, because that empowers them to get in people's faces where they can't run. And you've done such a great job. Do you buy the argument of where we are on the eve of these votes? Do you buy the argument of MTG that, hey, she's saying, I've really mitigated the risk because we do have the majority, and she's worked out a calendar over the next month how we actually add a few more seats, we get to 219, that Johnson has to go, that it's either symbolically or necessity, that there's a breach of trust here that you'll never be able to mend back given what's happened in the last 24 hours?
There has been a breach of trust. They have laid, whether that's Marjorie Taylor Greene or other conservatives, they've laid the predicate for how bad he has been. So when folks would ask me this, weeks ago when we first started talking about it, I'd have few people in my ear saying no one's laid the predicate. This would be outrageous to pull this on him. No one can say that we're not right about our our thesis about the Johnson speakership.
And this is essentially why McCarthy left. McCarthy left because there was a breach of trust, that he had lied too many times, that he pushed the debt ceiling. And you're kind of showing that it wasn't personal with McCarthy. And it's not really personal here. Mike Johnson is a good man. The problem is you have a good man in a situation that's just doing bad things. And you can't that trust, after what's happened in the last 48 hours, 24 hours, I don't know how anybody could ever trust him again.
Well, you know, he right now is being dishonest with regard about the House Freedom Caucus. He's going around and saying that they were unwilling to work with him on a rule that could vote.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Walk
me through this. And all the stuff I missed it. Tell me about this.
And so the argument is coming out.
He's accused
leaders.
The Freedom Caucus. The reason we're here is that they wouldn't work with him.
The reason why there's no border security is that he wouldn't work with them to take something less, still substantial less than H.R. 2. And it's not. What they were unwilling to do was to give a show vote.
To a performative vote.
Performative right. vote that was not connected to Ukraine. And so, you know, you get to the character of someone and you got to, in the balance.
Wow. Maybe I have to hold back on Mike Johnson's a good man. He's actually making this argument.
They're making that argument. He is making that argument. And so, again, he is personally making the argument that the only way to fund Israel was to do this package with Ukraine. Again, that's ridiculous.
It's true.
A totally unsustainable position that the left temporarily has. And so, you know, you got to put this in the balance. And I think this is a long, soul-searching moment for members to make. And I still will defer to them in this one, given the size of the majority. But I would say, you know, things that were previously outrageous, think like a caretaker speakership. We were outraged because we had big fights and leverage points coming down the pike. Johnson gave all those up. There's literally nothing to do between now and the end of the year other than to not
pass bills. The Democrats have used him for what they need.
Yes.
Right? And it's there's no other must pass votes that's coming up that he could serve their purposes. So you're saying, hey, let's get a caretaker in there. Let's get through the election, keep the majority, and then we'll deal with it.
Figure out what speaker is going to be on the best terms with America First movement and a future President Trump.
When you say a Brexit-type moment, explain to the audience. I just want to make sure everybody's clear. What do you mean by that as far as – because this audience is veterans, sons of veterans and daughters of veterans, parents of active-duty service members. This is the most patriotic, want to serve America, America first. When they hear that maybe some of the concepts of Reagan's ideas of national security may have been correct in those days, may not be correct today, that's kind of a shocking moment. So what? Because there's so many people, it's very confusing, this national security, because people wrap themselves in the flag mm-hmm. and say, hey, you're voting against what President Reagan, what made us so strong. When you say it's a Brexit moment for America first, what do you mean by that?
Is that the national security paradigms have been co-opted by a defense industrial complex that makes money and maintains power on war and foreign policy conflict. And so instead of allowing our incredible military and our national security community that has won these wars in our nation's past to be able to go and deal aggressively with China if necessary, hopefully not, but if necessary, and to order our affairs, we have to fight wars and skirmishes and waste trillions of dollars. And oh, by the way, it's not – when we say the cost of a war – it's not primarily the dollars, although that's
no,
a lot.
It's opportunity cost.
It's the opportunity cost of wrecked
horrible.
Families,
yes.
of tours of duty where people are endlessly overseas. That wrecks our communities. And we want an end to that. We want to go back to a constitutional republic where we fight where we need to fight. And we fight ruthlessly and to win. But we will not allow foreign bureaucrats or David Cameron, a former prime minister of UK, to tell us what our interests are. And until this changes, you can expect havoc in the political realm. And you saw that. That's the reason why I wanted to compare it to Brexit was, remember when Boris was getting it through? I mean, it was come hell or high water.
I would actually argue Nigel, but Boris and Nigel.
Come hell or high water, that movement was going to get it through.
Yes.
And when Theresa May showed that she was given
lip service.
It was rocky.
She looked at it as a problem to be overcome instead of an opportunity to be seized.
There you go.
Center for Renewing America. In the next 48 hours, where do people go for more information. You guys have been tremendous. It's one of the reasons the grassroots movement now is so powerful, because now they have a intellectual center that they can get the cutting edge thinking. Where do people go?
AmericaRenewing.com. We exist as a organization to provide battle plans and messaging framework to you and to those that come to Congress and say, we are actually here on your behalf. And so we never want to be outclassed, and we never will when it comes to knowing more than our adversaries. You will know more than the member of Congress that is coming back to you and explaining a vote for why they did something that was against your interest.
We've also put out the fifth installment. This is about the central bank digital currency. It walks you through. It's called The End of Economic Freedom. But it compares and contrasts in times of turbulence why the central banks throughout the world are buying gold at record rates, this whole de-dollarization movement. Russ did a great job. This repo act, which is another thing that's tucked in here, right? It's so complicated. Nobody's explained it, but we're going to have a vote on it tomorrow. I'll get more into that. But make sure you go to Birch Gold. We've done this. Everything there is free. The advice is free. You can talk to them about all their tax-deferred elements. But most importantly, the end of the dollar empire. Finish the fifth installment. It's on the central bank digital currency. I want to thank everybody that did it. Russ, I want to thank you, particularly the fight. I understand people, hey, today's been a tough day, but we're going to have tough days. There is, I think, some glimmers of hope here. Particularly, I think you're starting to see a irreparable breach of the neocons, and they're not going to be able to defend their position. We're going to have to take some tough votes, but I think people ought to go to MTG site right now, get all the information about from her about being a co-sponsor, and then contact your congressmen and have them make the argument of why they are or are not going to do it. I think we're now at that moment, and I agree with Russ 100%. I think the Democrats have used Speaker Johnson. Now they've got no use for him. And we need a caretaker in there because you support him so much. I want to thank everybody. We're in posse, particularly for yesterday in Las Vegas. We now are convinced we're going to do many more of those. I think we're going to do another couple in the month of May because we think it's necessary for everybody. Lou Dobbs follows us. We're back here live from the conference tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. We're going to get into this. It's going to be the pregame for the votes. It looks like they're going to take place shortly after noon tomorrow, maybe 1 o'clock. I want to thank Russ Vogt. Thanks for doing this. Thanks for having us, Steve. Down here. We'll see you. Lou Dobbs, hang around for Lou Dobbs. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, a Real America's Voice.
I want to warn you of a huge change that could be coming to our money and our bank accounts. First, think back to 9/11, shortly after the government pushed through the Patriot Act. This gave the government power to spy on innocent Americans by monitoring our phone and email and tracking our movement across the internet. Now, Jim Rickards, editor of the independent financial newsletter Strategic Intelligence and New York Times bestselling author, is warning about a coming event that could elevate this governmental surveillance to a terrifying new level. In fact, some of the guests I've had on the War Room believe that the government will soon expand their powers to track our every move. If we say the wrong things on social media, donate to the wrong causes, buy firearms, or even vote MAGA, the government may be able to shut us out of our bank accounts. I can't say for sure if this will happen, but it's an interesting and dire warning. Fortunately, Jim Rickards, an American patriot and friend of mine, has made it his mission to educate us on what he believes is coming and how to protect yourself from the possibility of programmable money. Watch Jim's warning video now before it's censored like I've been in the past. Go to RickardsWarRoom.com. That's RickardsWarRoom.com now to see the video.
Room at checkout to save 67%. Do it again. War Room Health, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Go there today. If you're going to be part of the posse, you need a strong heart. You need a lion's heart. How we're going to do that is with Salty. Go there, do it today, check it out.